Welcome back. A new report shows a widening gap between the wealthiest households and the poorest in Missouri. As these trends were being reported, some 50 members of two Jewish congregations were getting a firsthand taste of what it's like to be poor. They took what's called the food stamp challenge and spent a week eating on the average food stamp allotment of $31.50 per person, as nearly 50 million Americans do. Obviously, there is a connection between the issue of income inequality and food stamps. With us to talk about both are Amy Bluen of the Missouri Budget Project. It advocates for improving the quality of life for all Missourians. It helped disseminate the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities and Economic Policy Institute report on income disparity. Also with us, Rabbi Susan Talvi of Central Reform Congregation and Rabbi Andrea Goldstein of Temple Share Emeth. They were among those who completed that week-long food stamp challenge. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you. Amy, let me begin with you. Can you give us a kind of a thumbnail synopsis of what this report revealed about income inequity?
Sure. What they saw with the report is that there has been an increasing widening gap, dramatically widening gap between people who are very wealthy throughout the nation and those with incomes, particularly at the bottom of the income scale. And between the 1970s and the mid-2000s, what they saw or what they found was that incomes for those at the top, you know, at the top of the income scale, the top 5%, grew by more than $100,000 over that period of time, whereas incomes at the bottom end of this income scale grew by at most $5,000 and $5,600 over that more than 30-year period. In Missouri, we've seen an increasing income gap, not only between those at the top end of the income scale and the bottom end, but at the middle as well, compared to the top.
I have to assume that there must be similar numbers all over the country, given the state of the economy.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody, all income categories actually lost ground during the recession. However, those with the highest incomes had more ability to lose some money than those with middle and lower incomes. We've seen in Missouri, in particular, over that period of time, just over the last decade, we saw that the average income for the richest fifth of households grew 7.3 times greater than the poorest.
It's Susan Talvi, I'll start with you. It's pretty easy to connect the dots then between what Amy's talking about and what you and Andrea have been going through for the last several days. Easy to connect those dots.
Oh, absolutely. And that was really the first level. That's why we took the food stamp challenge. And this was actually a national movement from the Jewish Council on Public Affairs, which is a kind of a Jewish umbrella group for Jewish community relation councils across the country, and Mazon, which is a Jewish hunger collective. And the first level, there was many levels to this, and I think we all learned a lot just by doing it. It's one thing to read about, you know, a family, you know, what it means to be at the federal poverty level, and, you know, two people making $15,000 or less. You know, it's just crazy to think that there are that's how poor you have to be to qualify for this assistance. So there were lots of levels of experience doing this challenge and learning. But the first level was, we know that there are going to be budget cuts, and we don't want the cuts to be on the backs of the poor. And the SNAP program is saving lives. It's, you know, 46 million people who it makes the difference between going to bed hungry or not.
Well, the SNAP is an acronym for the program that actually we call food stamps, for the bureaucratic word. What is it? Supplemental
Nutritional Assistance Program. But for most people, it's not supplemental. Yeah. What we learned was, for most people, it really is what they can count on.
And Rabbi Goldstein, tell me something about your experience going through this. $31.50 a week. A family of four can go to McDonald's and spend that in a heartbeat.
Well, I have a family of five, and the five of us took the challenge together. So we had a little bit more money to work with. We went on the SNAP website to see what an average family of five would be allotted. And we lowered that a little bit two of my children had already signed up to buy school lunches that day, which were actually more than the average allotment allowed. So we sort of cut a little bit out from that. But for a family of five, we worked with $120, and it was it was doable, but it definitely elevated all of our stress level quite a bit, and there was a limit in the variety of food that we were able to purchase, and there was also a limit to the amount of healthy food that we were able to purchase. So I want to echo what Rabbi Talvi had said in that there are very deep levels when you begin to explore the issue of hunger and how interconnected hunger and income becomes tied to health issues in terms of obesity and just general good health. When you're not able to obtain the right kind of nutrients to sustain your body, it's going to ripple out, and it really is a problem that needs to be addressed on a variety of levels. It's right. One thing that really came to the surface for us.
Absolutely.
Did you want to add to that, Rabbi Talvi?
Gosh, one of the things that we kept talking about, Amy probably could speak about this, but you know, especially in a farm state, we know that the subsidies that go to, you know, corn syrup products make those products a lot less expensive than the healthy ones. And so given that choice of, you know, processed sugar foods, corn syrup foods, which are so much less expensive and fill your stomach, to the head of broccoli, you know, we were weighing those things. And also the canned vegetables that are so much less expensive rather than buying the healthy one. And that was the other thing that we were supposed to do. We were supposed to try to live healthy on our $31.50 a piece a week. And that was hard.
You know, I think one of the things that many people might not understand is why so many people who live at the poverty level mm-hmm. are overweight mm-hmm. until you begin to analyze, exactly. as you have, the choices they have and what they eat.
Yeah. It's choices mm-hmm. and it's also convenience. The prepackaged right. foods are so much more convenient. And, you know, many families who receive supplemental nutritional assistance are working. You know, my husband and I both work. We're exhausted at the end of the day. It is slightly cheaper to make everything from scratch, but it is exhausting. It's time consuming. Yep. And so it has to do with convenience. It has to do with affordability. And you know, our priorities are really mixed here in terms mm-hmm. of what we're sort of doing at a national and even local level. It's hard.
And we had access to those, you know, supermarkets that are less expensive. What happens if you don't have transportation or you're living in a food desert, which we have so much of in St. Louis? You know, I just couldn't get my heart around. We're in a farm state mm-hmm. and people don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Amy, I know this is an area in which you and your organization have worked for a long, long time. What are you hearing here that resonates with what you do?
Well, I think that one of the critical pieces that are going to be debated by the Congress coming up is the SNAP benefit and whether or not that is decreased. We're facing the automatic budget cuts as of January 1st, so those are coming. And one of the benefits during the period of recession that we faced is that the stimulus actually included an increase in the SNAP benefits. So these families, you know, we're struggling. Our families in Missouri are struggling even with a slightly increased SNAP budget. That is potentially going to be lost during this debate.
What about the role of the states in this whole process?
Mm-hmm. Well, we think that, you know, in order for Missourians to be able to succeed, we need to be investing in the services that create opportunity. You know, we need to be investing in education, including higher education. We need to be investing in health services and critical infrastructure items. And Missouri, as you know, has faced multiple years of budget reductions over the past decade, and we've cut those basic services that allow families to have opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi Goldstein, you said something early on about your children going to school and signing up for the supplemental food program there, right?
No, my children actually didn't have to do that. We have to pre-order some of their lunches, so they had already done that. Interestingly, I say this with permission. Interestingly, my husband, when he was growing up, he lived in Madison, Wisconsin, and his family, he had a single working mother and his sister, and my husband did receive benefits from the state of Wisconsin that came in the form of free and reduced price lunches, which in talking to my mother-in-law really made quite a difference in terms of being able to get by when the month was tight on money.
Well, so. I'm sorry that I misunderstood what you said, but what I was getting at was, how embarrassing must it be for young people to have to do this and set themselves apart from everybody else? Your guys didn't have to experience that.
No, well, not exactly. I will say my oldest is in middle school, and it just so happened during this week that it was a meet your seventh grader for lunch day, which is my son's favorite day of the year. Not because he loves to see me so much, but because all of the parents bring these special, sandwiches and things of that nature. And he said, are we still doing this at the seventh grade lunch? And I said, actually, yes, we are. I'll bring you this lunch. And it was very, very sweet. A dear friend of mine had gone to Subway and bought her child a sandwich, and she bought my son an extra one. And she said, please, may I give him a present of this sandwich. He was standing right there. I did allow him to have the gift of the sandwich. It was very interesting, though. He barely spoke during this lunch, and later at dinner, I said, you were so quiet. And he said, that was the best sandwich I've ever eaten. The level of gratitude, I think, for what we have was really palpably increased during the week for my family and those people I know who were participating in this.
Amy, the issue of dignity is an important one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and it's one of those things where it becomes obvious, that you do think about the fact that you don't have to think, about where your food is coming from or whether or not you're going to be able to afford something healthy or even go out to eat. Most of us around this room don't have to think about that.
Well, speaking of thinking, Rabbi Talvi, when you sit down to Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, mm-hmm. what are you going to be thinking about, given what you've just gone through?
Well, I think echoing really what Andrea said, that this, just the gratitude of having such privilege is so humbling. One of the things that was striking in our families was that some people just couldn't do it with their kids because their kids played sports or they were in activities where they needed more calories than their families could provide on the food stamp budget. And so someone said, well, what do kids do when they're dependent on this and they're playing football, they're playing sports? And I didn't have an answer. I guess they're dependent on other safety nets, because on that budget, you really cannot give your kids a healthy diet. And if they need those extra calories, or if they're sick, if people who have chronic illness, this is a real challenge. And the thing that the eye opener for me, and I think Amy could speak about this better too, is that this is not, when we're talking about the Medicaid expansion, for example, we're talking about sliding scales, so that if you make $1 more than the cutoff, you're still going to be able to get those benefits when, God willing, we have Medicaid expansion in Missouri. But for food stamps, if you make $1 more, you're cut off. And that just doesn't make sense. There's a disincentive for people to make more money because their salaries could be growing, but not enough for them to get those food stamps. So it's like one of the things I'll be thinking about is how the system needs to change, and that we have a catch-22, and that we cannot allow our budget cuts, and there will be budget cuts, to be done on the backs of the poor. And certainly, if anything, we have to grow the SNAP program, not reduce it.
Yeah, it's really just one part of the overall problem, if
it
you
is.
Will. And that is
it's connected.
It's all connected.
All connected.
We have a number of phone calls. People want to get into the conversation. But before I begin to take those, let me just ask you and Rabbi Goldstein, so where do you go from here? You've learned a lot. it doesn't stop, does it, with the end of that week?
No. You know, we decided to open this up. This challenge was something that I've wanted to do for a couple of years, and then I brought it to the leadership of the synagogue. We decided to open it up to raise awareness, and we are planning now on continuing to make sure that this isn't just a one-week type of deal. Mm-hmm. So for us, you know, in a few weeks after Thanksgiving, we'll be celebrating Hanukkah. We're really trying to encourage our families that instead of bringing presents to share, to take a night and take the money that would have gone to presents to go shopping and to donate money to some of the food pantries in town. Also to donate healthy foods that people, I mean, that's another area of awareness that has come from this, that it doesn't have to be the 50-cent can,
right.
But a lot of the pantries have freezers, that even frozen vegetables are so much better than the canned products, and that the money that we can use can actually really go a lot further in terms of the health benefits that we can provide for people. And we're really going to continue to advocate and really, as Susan mentioned and Amy as well, to really try to make our families aware so that when they hear things in the news about budgets being cut, that we're really thoughtful about where those tightening of the belts are occurring.
Susan Talvey, how has your congregation responded to this?
Oh, very generously. This was also like a run. You could sponsor people to be on the challenge. And we've raised thousands and thousands of dollars that will go precisely to those kinds of projects that Rabbi Goldstein spoke about. And I think it's changed because we've been blogging and sharing our experiences. I did read when you spilled the pea soup on the floor. That broke my heart. Can you imagine making
that pea
soup?
You never think about, like, when you have accidents.
Right.
Like, you have a very tight budget.
Right. And
something
you lose,
comes along.
You lose
and,
a whole bowl of soup there. That was broke my heart. But so
that's a whole meal.
Yeah,
for
it was. Sure.
It was.
Right.
It was more than one, actually.
Yeah.
So we've been sharing the experience. And so people who couldn't do it for health reasons or other reasons have really been, I think, moved and are moved again in on all these different levels to take action.
Amy, can these folks make a difference with what they're doing and the way they're presenting it to the public?
You know, absolutely. I think one of the things that happens with this type of exercise, if you will, is that people become much more aware and in touch with how dramatic poverty is in Missouri and how hard it is for families to really make it. And that they take that information and then do something with it, you know, advocate with our congressional delegates about what our needs are. I think that's critical.
Right. As I say, we have a number of calls. Before I take my next break, I'll bring in Kristen calling from Imperial. Get her into the conversation. Kristen, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share my thoughts on this. When I was 19, I had a child. I was a single mother, and I was given $200 a month to live on for me and my child. And she was special needs. So fresh fruit and vegetables were not an option for us. And it just, it wasn't enough money to live on. So I actually switched jobs to work at a restaurant so that I could get her the food she needed and I ate at work. I didn't have any money to feed myself. I either ate at work or I ate ramen. And without that money, I don't know what we would have done.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, thank you so much for the call. And clearly it's an emotional issue for you. You know, I just hope people listen to Kristen's voice and really get some sense of what is going on out there. There are so many people in today's world, in our country, and certainly in other parts of the world, who are having to live this kind of a life. It's just, Kristen, we're very appreciative of your call. Good luck to you and to your family. She also raises another issue, which I think it gets lost sight of, the fact that we're dealing with a special needs child. And
that's
where
right.
these situations arise and just make a bad problem even worse. Right.
Absolutely.
And it costs us all more because then the health care needs are going to cost us more. So we're sabotaging ourselves when we don't help people eat right.
More calls, but I have to take this break. We'll do that. We are talking about actually income inequality in the state of Missouri as evidenced in a recent report. And in conjunction with that, we're talking with the two rabbis from the local community who were involved in a food stamp challenge. They lived on a food stamp budget for a week and learned a lot, obviously, about what it's like to be in this situation of poverty. Lots of callers waiting. Stay with us. We'll get to your calls when we come back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our discussion about poverty in Missouri. And actually, it's a subject that what we're talking about resonates across the entire country. We're also talking about the food stamp program, what it's like to live on a food stamp budget. My guests in studio are Amy Bluen, Executive Director of the Missouri Budget Project, Rabbi Susan Talvey of Central Reform Congregation, and Rabbi Andrea Goldstein of Temple Sher Emeth. The two rabbis were involved in projects where they lived on a food stamp budget for a week and learned, as I mentioned earlier, an awful lot about it. Let me take one more phone call before I have a couple more of my own questions here. Linda in Town and Country, thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for everyone for speaking out for poverty. I wanted to just give a reflection. I spent the summer on a campaign, and so we spent quite a bit of time around the state going to parades, and so you get, you know, really close to the people. And the thing that I took away from my experience was the amount of poverty and obesity in Missouri. And it really, it was just really a strong impression. So my question is, if we could increase spending and spend in a particular program, where would you spend it and how do we measure the outcomes? Because I know from working in the legislature, you know, you've got to prove your case and to take, you know, good evidence that you're improving outcomes for people based on a certain, you know, dollar amount would, you know, make it easier to go back every year. So where would you put your money?
Who would like to pick that up? Anybody have a strong thought? Amy, everyone's
being delegated.
At you.
So I, you know, honestly, I think there are so many needs right now that it's hard to choose just one area. You know, I think that they're absolutely on the federal level. We need to invest in those critical services that are what we call entitlements. You know, we need to protect food stamps, TANF, child care assistance, the core of the programs that provide the safety net, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, which have been proven, Medicare and Social Security, been proven to lift our seniors out of poverty. Food stamps help lift, you know, families with kids and seniors and everybody in between, all age groups out of poverty as well. So it's hard to select one service that needs to be protected or invested in more than others.
Well, you know, you're well aware, everybody at this table is well aware that everything that you've just mentioned is in some jeopardy now because of this fiscal problem that that everybody's concerned about.
Absolutely.
But I think our caller really brings up something so important, and this is what Amy's saying, I think, is that these programs, people think, oh, these are handout programs, but and they do save lives. You know, we heard it from our first caller, but really what these programs do, and you said the words, they lift people out of poverty. We heard from person after person that came on food stamps to speak to us during this week that the food stamp program helped this person go back to school and get a better job. And now one of the women who came to speak to us, she distributes food stamps. She works for the state now. But she said, I never could have gotten here without that assistance. And I think that's what people have to understand.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why it is that there is a large segment of people in this country who looked at these things as handouts, and if I dare say the word, consider them moochers who are just, you know, living off of these various government programs. I wonder why it is that they have that they take this approach, what they see and what their lives are like that cause them to think this way. Rabbi Goldstein, do you have any idea?
You know, I can't speak to that mindset because it is not my own. You know, we did hear throughout the week that along with understanding the need to help people get the sustenance that they need, there is concern that there is wasteful spending within government programming, and that there are people that perhaps abuse the system. But, you know, in our Jewish tradition, you know, one of the most beautiful teachings surrounding this topic in particular is that there is a time and place, perhaps, to question someone when they come and say, I am in need. But when they come and say, I am hungry, that is never to be questioned. But, you know, that's what our tradition teaches us, that that is such a vital part of us as being human, that if someone says, I am hungry, that our response as a community needs to be, let us get you fed.
Mm-hmm. Amy Bruin, you deal a lot with the legislature, and a lot of, you know, what has to happen is going to have to go through this process at some point. What do you find the reaction there to be? Is it simply based on fiscal inability to do some of the things that perhaps ought to be done, or is mm-hmm. there this mindset that people are looking for a free ride?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are a combination of attitudes, you know, in the Capitol. I think that there are some people who are very aware of the needs that are in the community and some who aren't, just like any of us. I think that, you know, we face really a couple of significant challenges. One is that we truly have less revenue in Missouri right now than we have in the past. And actually, as a portion of our economy, our state general revenue is lower today than it was in 1981. So that's, you know, an indicator to us that times are tight. So that is one reality, and we need to look at that revenue side of the equation. But another side of the equation is that there are myths that still exist about poverty and what it means, you know, and frankly, accessing food stamps or TANF benefits or child care, even health services, is not an easy process. You know, it's not an easy process in the state or on the federal level to receive benefits. And people, or all of the studies that have been done, indicate that the fraud levels are extremely low. There are much higher levels of fraud in our tax structure, you know, by wealthy folks.
All right. Susan Talvey, do you want to weigh in on this part of it?
Yeah. I mean, I just think the only thing I would add is we have to feed the hungry, but yeah. We also have to give them healthy food.
Yeah. That's one of the big
really
you keep coming
important.
Back to this.
It's so important, sure. Because if we don't invest in the people of Missouri, then they're not going to be able to produce. You know, mm-hmm. we can't be healthy citizens.
Well, we see an influx of urban gardens, mm-hmm. and even some food co-ops out in the community where
right.
it's needed most. That might be helpful in this direction. Back to the phones, and I think while we're on this part of the subject, we'll bring in Lawrence calling from Baden. Lawrence, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon. Not to regurgitate the anger, the rancor, et cetera, of what just passed in the election. I guess the folks, whether one believes, and by the way, good afternoon, Rabbis Talvey.
Hi.
And Aiden Goldstein. Hello. Whether one believes in God or higher power or whatever, I would think that, and especially, and we know what, you know, on Thursday, and this may come off as cornball, but I think it would behoove one to be grateful that due to a turn of events, they are not in a position where they have to be concerned about food stamps. You know, unless in their heart they're angry at some sort of, angry at the poor, food stamp nation, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I would just hope that the folks with the cold hearts, maybe they all need to have that bad dream of Scrooge or something, and to realize that, you know, even they could be in a position of dire straits and looking for the next dollar.
Lawrence,
that's all I got to say. I'm sorry I could have been more articulate, but happy Thanksgiving to all.
Same to you, Lawrence, and thanks for the call. This is another part of the issue. There are a lot of people
yes.
in the country today who are just a paycheck or two away
right.
from needing some of the
That's
services
right.
that we've been talking about.
You know, there is no they It's all us. Yeah. And I think that's important, too.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Doing this is also... people have come forward with members of our own congregation yes. who we were unaware. I mean, that's we've had members come to us anonymously and say, this is my life right now, mm-hmm. or this was my life a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I would have never, never guessed in a million years.
If you go to a food bank and spend a little time outside and see the people coming up, you see a quite different cross-section than I think that many people believe would be the clientele for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones here, and this time we'll bring in Terry, calling from Clayton. Terry, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, rabbis. Hello, Susan. I'll try to get to temple more often. I'll bring Naomi with me, of course.
Great.
Let me say this. Many of us just watched a two-part thing last couple of nights on PBS about the Dust Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We had farmers back then, I showed this last night, who would darn near have let their families starve than to take relief. There were people that stubborn. So this attitude about taking handouts and about giving out handouts is decades, if not over a century old. And I just, you know, it was funny, too, because they also talked about how Roosevelt was a socialist. It all sounds very familiar to me right now. And I just want to know if you both see legislators, how do you approach them about trying to, especially these Missouri legislators and these people in the middle of the state who are rural, who I think have that attitude, how do you approach them about trying to at least moderate that tone a little bit so that they understand what the heck's going on?
Thank you for the call. I think we're going to turn to Amy again because you do approach such people.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. We, you know, what we found to be effective is to assume that they aren't intending to be cruel, but instead that they're misinformed and really that we were to approach them and let them know how much of a problem poverty is in their community, in their legislative district, how much these services can help people to succeed, to become successful, you know, and even simple things like helping a legislator understand that a kid cannot succeed at school if they're hungry, you know, little things that if you're never hungry, you may not think of.
Yeah. I'll return to the phones here and bring in Emma calling from Tower Grove South. Emma, thank you for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi there. I was actually calling. I work at a local market in Tower Grove South, and I've noticed that the people who come in and use food stamps will buy all their food with food stamps and then will spend cash on alcohol and cigarettes, and I always felt that it was kind of wasteful, but now that I'm finding out that, you know, there's just a very strict hard line where which if you surpass it, you will no longer qualify for food stamps, I'm thinking it's almost in their best interest to spend money on goods like cigarettes and alcohol just so that they won't have the assets that would disqualify from them, which seems like it would be a big issue.
Well, Emma, the part of the issue that you raised there that you hear a lot are complaints from some of the people we've been talking about, that people on food stamps are also seen buying these other kinds of items, and that turns a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're getting at, Emma?
Yeah. But also that if they don't buy extra things, they may not even qualify for food stamps.
That's not exactly. I mean, if folks have the money to spend on anything, whatever it is, then that is actually included in their asset level. So when they determine their food stamp eligibility. So, but. You know, the question becomes, you know, how much do you legislate behavior too? You know, just because some people are seen doing that doesn't necessarily mean, first of all, doesn't mean that it's a bad choice for them. You know, living a very difficult existence. And it also, you know, if some, it doesn't mean that it's applicable to everybody.
Yeah. Time's getting away. I'm going to bring in Jerry very quickly, though, Jerry, in O'Fallon. Can you make it quick?
Yeah, good morning. I just want to echo your previous comment. I, this morning, had dropping off some items at the local Salvation Army, and I'm looking around 2 days before our holiday, which is essentially, you know, based on overeating, and I see people that probably, in their wildest imaginations, never could have thought that, you know, they would be going to a food pantry for sustenance. And I'm afraid sometimes people really don't understand until it happens to them. As the late Bob Hope once said, if you haven't any charity in your heart, you have the worst heart disease there is. And unfortunately, I think we're kind of undergoing an epidemic in which a lot of people simply choose to, that simply believe there is no such thing as undeserved bad luck.
Jerry, thank you so much for the...
Thank you.
We thank you for the call. And I think we'll give Leslie and Olivette the last word, but it'll have to be a quick one. Leslie, go ahead.
Hi. This summer, I worked for a community-sponsored agriculture program, and when people didn't come and pick up their produce, I got to take it to the food bank. I also got to take it to a family I knew who had fallen on hard times, and I gave them part of my share because I was only one, and that was a family of three. And the looks on their faces when I delivered that beautiful, fresh, organic produce brought tears to my eyes. So when you drop food off, know how valuable it is to the people you're helping.
Leslie, thank you so much for the call. We have about a minute and a half left. I'll go across the table. Susan Talvey, your takeaway from your week and this whole subject.
Well, I guess I have to go back to where we began, and that is that we need to advocate that we don't balance the budget on the backs of the poor and that we preserve the food stamp program and maybe even grow it and make it more manageable and better with healthier foods.
All righty. And Amy Bluen, go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that people need to call our senators and congressional representatives and let them know how important this is while they're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Andrea Goldstein, Rabbi Andrea Goldstein, go ahead.
Well, and I'll add to both of those by saying, along with the advocacy that is so important, those of us who have enough to share, we should open our hearts and share. And this is a time of year when people are more aware of that. I would hope maybe perhaps the show could also do something similar in the summer when people are forgetful that that is probably the hardest time of the year for families, especially who are hungry, that each of us can do something to make some difference right now, starting now.
All of you should be commended for what you're doing to bring this to the public attention. Rabbi Andrea Goldstein, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Amy Bluen, nice
thank
to see you,
you
again. Thank you,
you
for being with us. And Rabbi Susan Talvey, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Always good to
nice
be
to see you all. And we're going to be back tomorrow, and tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the importance of preserving and sharing family stories and efforts to encourage that. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.